Like Groundhog Day. Now, shouldn't we start over? We can look at each other, and anything we didn't do perfect the first time, we can now correct.
Babe, I got you, babe.
Wrong show.
No, that was a Groundhog Day. That was a song that came on at 6:30 in the morning.
Oh, is that the one?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Am I right?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
I'm Jan Sircone. We are here doing our radio show, Live from Ordinary Miracles, and Matt and I work with sound. We work with energy. We're light workers. And my website, you can find out about all the different ways I use sound, as musicforjoyandhealing.com. In fact, the song that you first heard to open the show is from my CD, Seven Sisters Sound Healing CD, that you can listen to on cdbaby.com.
You know, when you say we're light workers, I actually started the music business in 1969 working a follow spot for Bill Graham.
So
I was a light worker back then.
You were doing the lights for this show.
Yeah. Little did you know.
Yeah. It's kind of a new age term, but energy is light.
Well, speaking of energy, energy is frequency.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, this is our commercial portion of the show.
We'll roll into what we offer the world through sound.
Okay. So I do voice mapping. And voice mapping is a form of emotional healing that uses the frequencies in your voice, because when you're tapping into a memory that has stress and trauma attached to it, there are frequencies missing in your voice. And when those missing frequencies are fed back to you in a biofeedback process, it triggers the place where this memory-muscle connection happens that's tied into the traumatic memories, allowing you to surface and release those memories so you're no longer run like a subconscious puppet. You can actually be in the present. That's kind of a... I do a different description every week.
You and Eckhart Tolle, right?
Okay.
Be in the now.
So if you want to learn more, you go to mattkramer.com. And I think if you look on... if you're listening to the show, you're looking at the website. So you can go to mattkramer.com, click on voice mapping. If you have any questions, send me an email.
What I think is amazing, what we're learning, the work that I do with sound, is that our bodies can hold emotional matrices, which are vibratory, and they keep us stuck in those patterns. Whenever we have a thought or a reaction or an activation from someone in our lives that activates one of those little hooks, it's an emotional matrix. In fact, they have even isolated that each individual emotion has a specific frequency. For instance, you can make a tuning fork for love, surrender, resistance. Matt's smiling. He's thinking of some fun things to do with
a lot of applications here, yes.
But the machine I use, which you can actually take a look at just how tweaked you are by your emotional field, I use people's voice, and I map the frequencies of their entire body and can tell a lot about their health. But even more amazingly, I can see over their lines. For instance, a lot of women, they have a lot of C note in their voice, and it's kind of that, I'm disempowered, I'm a doormat, here, let me help you. Let me help you even more. Don't worry, I'll eat what's left over. I'll eat when it's cold after I wait on you. That is in the voice. And so other people can hear that. And what it usually is little extra little hits right in the C note. And what that does is that consistently wears down her immune system. This is a pattern that actually leads to the point of immune system breakdown. So it's all in the voice, the diagnosis, and the healing part. For instance, Matt, this is a question for you. If you are low in the vibration of C, how could we bring that C up within the body?
Well, you play C for about 5 or 10 minutes a day.
No, you sing it.
Oh, you sing it. I thought I could play it on guitar.
Well, that's the passive way. All right, buddy. He's a guitar player, singer. No. I mean, to actually tone, and I mean, that's the American way to, you know, be a little bit passive.
Shape note singing.
To... You know, they even have tone tables that people can lie on and vibrate it in, or you can hear it acoustically, then it just hits against your tympanic membrane in your ear. You can play music in a certain key. But singing itself is activating, aligning with that note, revibrating all the organs in the systems and your brain waves, and it actually can dissipate and rebalance through your body's own tritone balancing system, and it can break you out of that matrix. Amazing. So the program I use is the Voice Bio, voice analysis, and then you can heal yourself through your voice as well. Amazing.
So you get the right frequencies to be able to lose weight, right? Melt those pounds away.
Well, usually it's a lot of emotions there, some unpeeling before you finally hit the truth on that one. In a few minutes, we'll bring in our guest tonight, Vicki Noble, one of my favorite topics, working on the leading edge for the sacred divine feminine in all ways. She's from Santa Cruz, California, offers workshops, is a teacher. And before I bring her in, I'll do a little bit more expansive introduction, but I have some things to help us chuckle a little bit. And we know that sound healing is laughter as well, just letting it flow. Okay, here we go. You're going to like this. These are sayings that have been made into jokes. Save the whales, collect the whole set. On the other hand, you have different fingers. I just got lost in thought. It was unfamiliar territory. Are you finding these funny? So far I'm just seeing a smile. He who laughs last thinks the slowest. Depression is merely anger without enthusiasm.
You like that one.
a clear conscience is usually a sign of a bad memory. Oh, come on, these have to get better. All right, now this is a question for you. The first couple to be shown in bed together on primetime TV were...
Fred and Wilma.
Da 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 da. How did you know that?
I know everything.
No, wait a minute.
I listen to Tom and Ray. You know.
You have that pride matrix in your body.
Oh, okay.
I can get that out with the tuning fork. I'll give you a humility tuning fork. All right. Every day, more monopoly than the U.S. Treasury. Now this is your question here. We'll bring in our guests. We'll perk up the show. Coca-Cola was originally...
I heard it was green.
You got it. Ding, ding,
that's
ding.
Back when I had actually had cocaine in there.
Oh, I heard about that. That would be very stimulating. Well, Matt, why don't you introduce our guest properly? You have the website there.
Well, let me have folks go to the website.
A feminist, a shamanic healer, an author, a scholar, and maybe she can explain to us what archaeomythology. And I didn't interrupt you because I didn't even let you talk yet. So now you.
And I think you're introducing her. Why don't you keep going?
No, you continue. No. See, Vicki, this is the divine feminine and the masculine at work here, trying to make peace and balance. No, Matt, you go ahead. You finish the introduction.
Well, I was going to say, folks, go to www.motherpeace.com, motherpeace.com, which is a lovely website. And so you can see it says Mother Peace Tarot. And Vicki is a shamanic healer, and she's an author, and she's a mom. And I think, Vicki, you can probably tell us a lot more. Welcome to Live from Ordinary Miracles.
Thank you so much. It's nice to be here.
Yes, from Santa Cruz County, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was in Berkeley for a very long time, but almost a decade ago, I moved down to the Santa Cruz area.
Mm-hmm. What attracted you to Santa Cruz?
My daughters, my grown daughters, they're around 40 now, live here. They always have. And when I moved down here, they didn't have kids. But as soon as I was here, within a year of my move, they started producing grandchildren.
That's a grandmother seedling activity, right?
It's so nice. I spend a lot of time being a grandma. I like it very much. They call me Nana.
Grandmother magic.
Yeah, it really is.
That is beautiful.
Who would have known?
How old are your grandkids?
7, 6, and 4.
And what would you say they learned from you?
Well, you know, each one has a different relationship with me, which is really nice. The first was a girl, Bella. She's 7 now. And from the very, very beginning, she has actually been attracted to my practices. My goddess and Buddhist practices, which is just thrilling for me. I love it.
Goddess.
She was crawling across the floor when she was 6 months old and grabbing my mala beads and things like
that,
you know.
And the name Bella, too.
Isn't that beautiful? Isabella Rose.
Oh,
she's just a doll. And so today I took her bowling, you know. I mean, it isn't all spiritual, obviously, but it's very nice for me, actually, that there's this wonderful thing that they always promised would be true, that it skips a generation, and here's this little girl who wants the lineage, you know.
I was just thinking of that word, lineage.
Yeah, it's
you're
really
bringing to her with your background and what you teach and who you are. You're certainly, absolutely filling that role with your granddaughter.
Yeah, and she's filling that role for me, you know. It's very positive and life-affirming. My daughters are wonderful, but they're not interested in my work for themselves particularly, you know. It's not their calling.
So
but it seems that it will be hers.
Okay, so you're sitting on an airplane and the person next to you says, "So who are you, Vicki?" And what do you say to them?
You know, I often go blank when somebody actually says that.
You don't have that commercial down when you're
the elevator
speed.
There's something about how eclectic I am and how many different my work takes a lot of different forms of expression, but basically I'm a healer. You know, I've been a healer. I think I've been a healer since I was a child in my family, but I wouldn't have known to call it that. And it was in the 1970s that I actually had an awakening of my healing energies and came to consciousness, you know, about it. But it has always been a strong calling, and once I opened into psychic healing and shamanism and yoga and all the kind of invisible ways of helping people with their problems, that's what I do, whether I do an astrology reading over the telephone with somebody or a hands-on session in person, you know, or any other kind of work. It's something about being a healer and wanting to catalyze a transformational process for people, especially women. I work mostly with women, but not only. And I think it's always something about reframing the situation that the person finds him or herself in, and helping them to see themselves as more deeply held. I'm very big on the deep structure that holds us and how the different ways that we can tap into that. It's just exactly what you're calling frequency and, you know, talking about the singing. I was thinking when you were describing the singing and the sending of the frequency, that in my healing rituals, in my group healing rituals, where we do hands-on work with drumming and chanting, I always tell my students or my audience, if we're working in a public way, that we have to sing not like a performer, but sing as if somebody's life depends on it.
Oh, this is beautiful.
Yeah, it is beautiful. And people's voices actually come forth, you know, and become much more powerful
right.
when they think about it that way, instead of being shy and feeling like they can't sing.
Yes.
And in a certain way, I feel that, you know, every aspect of our expression is something like that. It all needs reframing.
Mm-hmm.
Our culture is so form-based, we have to learn to let ourselves extend ourselves into the world for helping other people.
As if our life depended on it.
As if our life depended on it, and as if someone else's life depended on it.
Uh-huh.
That really, we make a difference.
Our consciousness in every moment.
Yeah.
Matt is moving his mouth. Okay.
I am? Okay. I was going to ask if you could talk more about that awakening, what happened there.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I've actually described my awakening process as having two important stages. The first one was my feminist awakening, and it happened in the very early 70s, 1970, really. And it was, you know, I've come to see it as a spiritual awakening. At the time, it was so exciting and so supportive that it allowed me to really, I felt seen and I felt understood, and I understood myself as a part of something. So that was very important, but it was later in the 70s, in 1976, when I moved to Berkeley, that I actually had what I understood at the time as a kind of classic shamanistic healing experience or healing
initiation.
Crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when all the really dramatic things happened in terms of kundalini and visions and, you know, really amazing psychic experiences and getting healing heat in my hands.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
In Berkeley, did you run across a group of feminist therapists who were doing something called radical therapy?
Well, I was familiar with that concept from reading, but I didn't. I think that was a little bit earlier than when I arrived in Berkeley, actually.
Okay.
But very interesting.
So you actually were leading the pack. What I'm sensing now is that there's a mass awakening of women led by this sacred divine feminine impulse just in time to heal our planet. And do you have a sense that even mainstream women are being pulled into this awakening, surprisingly so?
I think that's probably true in some really profound way. It's broad now. I think what happened for some of us who awakened in the 70s and we had some mass experiences together, you know, the Take Back the Night events and things like that. But I think what's happened for many of us who are kind of veterans in this movement is that the work has gone very deep. It's grown roots. For instance, I'm teaching all of my work in a women's spirituality master's degree program. You know, and isn't that amazing? I mean, that couldn't have happened.
Spirituality program at New College.
Well, it's been at New College. New College is having some serious problems, and we are actually in the process of transitioning over to ITP in Palo Alto.
Great.
That's the Institute of Transpersonal Psychology. Can I give websites for these different things that we talk about? I think people might be interested to go to the Institute of Transpersonal Psychology website. It's www.itp.edu. And then you'll find there, an event I'm doing next month on Dakini practices and shamanistic work, and you'll find a little introduction of our new program. That it's a new program for ITP. It's actually a 10-year-old program that we've developed in women's spirituality. Wonderful master's degree program, really exciting, very transformative, very, very deep.
I read, I guess you'd call it your curricula I can't say that word.
Ah, PCV. Shorten it.
And I love the word archaeomythology, how it's related to the unfolding of the feminine through time and the goddess. And a couple of things really stuck out for me with my work and my focus. And one being that I work quite a bit with singing, and I lead women's groups as well, and I'm finding many of them are now speaking in light language, speaking in tongues.
Really?
And increasingly so, yes. Very powerful women, and it's on the tip of their tongue, and it's just coming out, so I'm encouraging it, and we're actually having conversations. And what I understand is we're code keepers, and that this information is working, again, within the bodily sacred geometry and frequencies to download what is needed for the next step. And so I noticed in your writings that you cited the women's secret language. Now, would this be sort of a language that they create to have their own private interaction, or do you think it was actually this code talking in sacred circle?
Well, that's a very interesting question. I have a feeling the answer is on many different levels, because it makes me think of the topic of my master's thesis, which I just completed last summer, has to do with women's textile making. And I went all over the world. I mean, I've been to several places, and I used research from all over the world, investigating the way that women go about it in these different places. It's usually women making the textiles, and I'm talking about indigenous cultures where the textile making is a very old technology and uses natural processes, natural dyes, and so on. And so that's just one way of answering your question, but in every case, the women describe what they're doing in their weaving process and the spinning and the natural dyes and all of that as a kind of code.
Yes.
It's the entire oral tradition.
It's a patterning.
Exactly. The patterns that they see when they take ayahuasca or San Pedro or for the Huichols, peyote or whatever the sacred medicines are. They see patterns, and the medicines,
building blocks.
The medicines tell them. They often say it that way, that the medicines tell them and show them the patterns.
It's so beautiful. Many of the indigenous works have such amazing, consistent, precise sacred geometry. Now, I've done quilting for years, and I was amazed when I started taking sacred geometry classes. For instance, the flower of life is the quilt that my best friend and I exchanged back and forth when we got married.
Mm.
So the flower of life is the Vesica Pisces, the male and female balance. And I said, this is all here within the feminine carrying on the tradition of these energies.
Yes, exactly, the patterns. And as a healer and as a, I use a lot of oracles in my healing work, and I'm always really tapping into the pattern. I'm always looking for the pattern and the patterns. And
frequencies, it's intervals, it's ratios, it's relationships.
And sometimes in the healing work, for instance, it's just felt as vibration. So in my healing rituals, I like to suggest that there's like a big wire that we're tapping into and hooking up to a little wire that's us,
exactly.
You know, and that all that needs to happen as a healer, all you really need to do is just hook up those two wires.
Hook up to the network. We talk a lot about that.
Really?
Activity on our show, and that once we activate our frequencies through our body, we actually become antennas.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
A lightning rod.
A lightning rod.
Yeah.
Light workers doing our work through the frequency realms of the grid.
And it's amazing, when you do that, you don't have to be pedantic. You don't have to...
Effortless.
You just are. You just make the connection.
Mm-hmm. And you can sit in a room with women in this space and feel so connected as in no other form.
Uh-huh.
So you're probably very familiar. First I'll say my sister was a textile worker. My daughter is now at California College of Arts and Crafts, and she works with fabric and costuming and such. and so growing up, we went and saw the show at Judy Chicago.
Oh yeah, wasn't it thrilling?
Dinner table. Everything was how many ways can you make a vagina? You know, with stitching and beads.
And all all the beautiful sewing. Oh.
Heavenly.
Yeah.
Women's work, the trapunto, the quilting, the
Well, you would love my thesis. I started out with the G's Bend quilts.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the G's Bend women?
No.
They're descendants of slaves in the South, and they've been a little bit isolated, and so they have a particular style which is very improvisational and quite thrilling.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I might recognize if I see it, but it's
it's an African American. They call it the African American style of quilting, but I saw an exhibit at the De Young Museum last year, and it completely stimulated my imagination and got me going on this thesis.
Beautiful.
What do you call the cheese?
G's Bend. It's a place in, I think, Louisiana. G E E S Bend.
Hmm.
Okay.
And the quilts are, they're just, they're radically creative.
Mm-hmm.
And they're from, the early ones are from the 20s and 30s.
So are you finding antique quilt tops that, are speaking to you from that era?
Yeah, exactly. And then some of them, they've continued to do their quilting and down through the generations
got some new tops
to
look at. I love to get the vintage and to work with the fabrics and date them and the colors and the patterns. And, that's something I've always loved doing, but not so much now that I'm working with sound. And so that brings us back, because we really do focus on sound and energy healing. When you're doing your shamanic work, so you do some drumming and some singing, what types of instruments do you use to break up and work with the energies of the body?
Well, when I started my work, I used Tibetan bells.
Mm-hmm.
They're so profound.
The tinctures or the bowls?
I used to use a bowl. I don't so much anymore. I sometimes use the tinctures, and I often use a handbell.
Mm-hmm.
And I used a drum. I had a flat frame drum for a long time. It's complicated, I started doing my work in the late 70s and early 80s, and at the time, it was before books had come out on shamanism and stuff like that. It was really quite early, and it wasn't a trend. And there was a certain amount, I never borrowed any work from Native American processes. I felt it was, I didn't have any Native American teachers, so it didn't seem appropriate. And sooner or later, I sort of came to understand that the Native American people, at least at that time, really weren't that fond of us using the drum.
Yes.
And so I gave my drum away to a friend in England, and I have usually brought in drummers from their own traditions. And so I don't so much make the music myself anymore, except with my voice, teaching the chant. But I always teach the chant in a very simple way to the group, and then they carry it,
Mm-hmm.
We chant the whole time, very simple chant, and the drumming holds the rhythm the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
The sort of pinnacle of that experience for me was when I used to teach at the Michigan Women's Music Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And I would spend a week or 5 days teaching women healing principles, how to use their hands for healing and so on. And Kay Gardner, who was alive at that time, was teaching, she had a group of 100 women. Each of us had about 100 women. And she was teaching them singing and using their voices. And Ubaka Hill, a wonderful African-American drummer, was teaching drumming to at least 100 women for the week. And then
heaven.
We would throw it all together.
Sounds like heaven.
It was incredible. We would do this profound healing ritual on the last day. And one of those times, I was going around touching people in the circle during the healing work, and I heard a voice say, "Let the rhythm unlock the pattern."
Absolutely.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Let the rhythm unlock the pattern. And I thought, exactly. Let the rhythm unlock the pattern of illness, of course. Release it. And let the rhythm unlock the deeper, the code.
Mm-hmm.
the deeper pattern of healing.
And what I'm learning, my partner works with the signature rhythms of the world and particular areas that represents not just their culture, but the earth frequencies.
Uh-huh.
And so by your having the actual indigenous person come in and embody, it is so different than you attempting to approximate. The specific rhythms are precise.
Uh-huh.
And when they play them, they are bringing the entire cultural stream.
It's like a transmission.
Exactly.
Yes.
Just like when we go to sacred sites and do our work there, then our bodies carry those frequencies.
Yes.
Living frequencies. So I'm so glad to hear that you're doing that.
And we go into such deep states together as a group. It's almost, I used to think when I was teaching the healing work that I had to teach a lot about it first and then finally do the healing ritual. But after a while I realized that it was the opposite. We should do the healing ritual first and then talk about it.
Well, it does itself.
Yeah, it teaches. It's a complete teacher.
Because you have gone into the trance state and you have invoked the higher beings.
Yeah.
And nothing can happen.
Yeah. And it's so sensate that it's undeniable.
Yes.
So people actually have an experience.
But you cannot experience it while you're talking about it.
Right, while you're worrying about it.
Right. Sometimes here on this show, if I have a shamanic healer, we just get out our bowl and we actually do a little bit of sounding. And
that
kind of looks at us, and then he gets that look like, yeah, I feel something happening. Matt, we can't talk about it. We have to experience it. So I welcome you. If there's any sort of transmission or prayer, anything that you feel drawn to pull through tonight, we have 10 or 12 minutes left, so just keep that in mind.
Okay?
Because that's what we do sometimes on this show. See, Matt is warming up to have a question. Mm. Raising his eyebrows.
Well, I was curious about the tarot card you created.
Yes, that was the most fun I've ever had.
Okay.
Your own deck?
Yes. I moved to Berkeley in 1976 with my partner at the time, Karen Vogel. We had met in Colorado Springs. She was an anthropologist and I was a historian. And we had the big questions, you know. We wanted to know about the ancient cultures and what happened and what about women's power and women's sexuality and all of that. And we were coming at it in a kind of scholarly way, but very intuitive. And we ended up in Berkeley, where there are so many good bookstores,
good resources,
and libraries. It was really just heaven on earth. And we started to really enter into the research. And through a long, windy road and series of events that in retrospect look very coordinated and coherent, you know, but at the time were completely random,
unbelievably,
we ended up making this round feminist tarot deck, and all of the shamanistic work and all of our research came through in this deck. It's like a revisioning of the of world history, you know, to include women.
Was this the first time tarot decks have made in the round?
Yes. And we heard during the time that we were working on the cards, we kept hearing about a group of women up north in Albion or somewhere in Northern California who were also working on a round tarot deck. So get that. You know how people talk about that when there's an idea in the ethers, you know, more than one person can pick it up.
It's birthing.
And there we were at the same time. And that deck became the Daughters of the Moon Tarot, which came out a little later than ours, but was really in process at the same time.
Is that still available for people?
Well, good question. I think so. I'm actually haven't checked lately, so I don't know, but I would imagine it's still. You know, then what happened is that in the 1980s, there was a plethora of tarot decks that came out. I mean, now there are so many different, very unique decks to choose from. But at the time, that hadn't happened. No one had really broken the form. We broke the form in the sense that we made the cards round and put lots of women and black and brown people and really made it very much more interesting than it had been. But we didn't break from the structure, which we felt was really intact. And
you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to for you to just think for a moment. If there was something that you wanted to share about your work or an important vision for the world or what is foremost in your mind of what you really wanted to communicate tonight to our
listeners. Uh-huh. Well, I think probably the central thing that I always come back to and that I think motivates my work is the sense that we in the West have lost contact with the way that we are actually embedded in nature and in the natural patterns that you're talking about, and that there's really kind of a template, there's a cycle, there's a cyclic reality that we live inside of in all kinds of ways. This is partly what I teach in the archaeomythology course, but it's really the deep structure that I think the reason my astrology readings are helpful for people is because I help them to understand that what's happening for them, whatever it is, part of a, not a plan exactly, but part of a, it has meaning and it's not an accident. Yeah. It fits inside of a pattern. And we've lost the sense of that, or we've lost the ways of talking about it maybe in our science and so on. And yet women especially are so cyclical with our back and forth bipolar menstrual cycle, and we're synchronized with the moon, and we spend most of our adult lives in that state. And there's something about that that I think is really the pattern that then can be projected onto the larger times and spaces that we deal with. So, for instance, all of the ancient sites and the stone circles and so on, they're all aligned to the seasonal cycle of the solstices and the equinoxes and the cross-quarter days, which is just really the same. It's the lunar cycle projected onto a larger time period. And that everything is happening that way. Everything is life, death, and regeneration. It's what Maria Gimbutas said after she did her amazing archaeological work with the sites from old Europe and all the 100,000 female figurines that were dug up from those sites.
Oh, heavenly. You know, it's very timely because this is the most amazing thing. I will be at Glastonbury Well on the equinox next week.
Well, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Wednesday, March 20th. And this was a crazy thing. My daughter called me up saying, "Mom, I have to go to Wimbledon to look at that costume school. I have to go there in the middle of the night." And I said, "Honey, this just seems like spirit is waking you up.
Oh, wow.
You can go." She says, "No, you must go with me. You must." Suddenly, it comes down to, I look at my calendar and I said, "Well, what are we going to do on Thursday?" And bingo, where should a priestess go? To the well at Glastonbury.
Uh-huh.
And I realized that is the global equinox for balancing the masculine and feminine. That's what I do.
Mm.
It's just like my daughter was my angel guide.
Yes.
To take me there.
Yes.
So there's the lineage.
That's beautiful.
I'm not going to be here next week, Matt.
Okay.
You're on your own.
I think that my first women's ritual in England was at the well and at equinox.
I will be thinking of you.
Yeah.
I have gathered a little satchel of gongs and Mary Magdalene and some other, and I'm going to write your name there. And,
oh, beautiful.
And, with the crystal and be working the grid. So some of this energy will go right back to Santa Cruz.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. We're connected here. Matt, I know you have a question. I see.
Well, Vicki, there's a rather multifaceted person. What haven't we touched on yet?
Well,
grandma, shaman, author. I read that you wrote one or two books?
Eight books.
Eight? Oh.
A lot. Some of
you're
them are out of print.
Author.
You're forgiven because they're not in print. I wrote a book called Mother Peace, A Way to the Goddess, to go with the Mother Peace cards.
Oh, how beautiful.
In the early 80s. It's a classic, and people still love it, even though it's out of print. And actually, they're just publishing it in Italy, just
wow,
right now. And so it goes on. And then I've written a book called Shakti Woman that a lot of women know and love and have told me that it was very helpful to them. All about the shamanistic work.
Wow.
To sort of...
I need to write that down. Shakti Woman.
Shakti Woman. I called it Shakti Woman, Feeling Our Fire, Healing Our World, The New Female Shamanism.
Oh, that says it all.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And then I have a couple of other books about the Mother Peace Tarot, you know, with different systems and teachings and different ways of doing readings and so on. And my most recent book is The Double Goddess, Women Sharing Power. In that book,
cover.
I sort of track the Amazons, and it's a scholarly book. It's exciting. I put a lot of stuff in it.
Well,
I love it.
Researched and beautiful to look at. Now, you do workshops, because that's how I found you. Someone recommended that I attend one of your workshops.
Uh-huh.
So tell us the titles and the nature of those.
Well, the one that I'm doing very soon, let's see, do I have any information about that? It's at ITP. They have something called the Center for the Divine Feminine, and they're sponsoring me doing a weekend on April 4th, 5th, and 6th, which I'm looking forward to very much. I called it the Sacred Female, Cultivating Shamanic and Tibetan Dakini Practices.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's really how I've synthesized my work these days, is that I've put my Tibetan Buddhist work together with my shamanistic work and my goddess work. And it's a good synthesis. It really is really my whole life. All the streams coming together, you know.
Oh, that's wonderful. Tell me again what ITT is.
ITT is the Institute for Transpersonal Psychology. It's in Palo Alto, just a little south of San Francisco. And they are just and separate from this Center for the Divine Feminine. That's the place where our master's degree program in women's spirituality is also finding a home now. We're very excited about that.
Excellent. That is wonderful.
Yeah, it really is good news. I think they're very happy to have us, and they're just wonderful people, and we're really looking forward to moving over there.
Well, I'm especially excited about the scholarly aspect. And my older daughter just graduated with her subject was all about women's issues.
Oh, good.
Transgender and the oppression and the expression all through time. So.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yes. So.
So it goes on. It's so important for us to know that.
Yes, it is, especially where we're headed. I think women are at the forefront for rebalancing. And like you said, reestablishing the cyclical nature of the external for society is so very, very much disconnected now. Actually, Matt lives here in a beautiful community that I think is like the vision for the future.
Ah.
Just say a little word about your community here, Matt.
Well, it's Frog Song Co-Housing, which the community built together, hired an architect, the one who actually discovered co-housing in Denmark, husband and wife team, Chuck Durrett and Katie McCammett. And you get together for about 4 or 5 years discussing how do you want to be neighbors together in an intentional community. And it's not about any religious or other kind of doctrine. It's simply that we do have holistic values. Like, we have 85 fruit trees on our property. We have a permaculture, organic environment. A lot of the kids are homeschooled.
You cook together?
Oh, that's beautiful.
Have 3-4 meals a week, and there's like 57 adults and 27 kids.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yes, this is a reestablishment, I think, of community, right?
Yes.
A living form, living, breathing form. And it feels feminine to me.
Yes, absolutely.
There's no patriarch, per se. There's just a lot of families that share management together.
Well, and the minute you start participating in natural cycles, that is the natural feminine expression, I think. I mean, and then we're out of patriarchy.
Exactly. It's the nurturing, the spaciousness, the holding.
There's been a lot of work recently on matriarchy as an expression of exactly that, not you know, women over men or anything like that, but really egalitarian cultures. There are matriarchal cultures, contemporary ones, that are coming out of the woodwork and telling us about themselves. Their
qualities, right, of cooperative,
yes,
community. I'm just becoming involved with a group down at Fairfax, the Inner Circle, and we're forming a clinic that will allow people to come and have some free treatments, free energy treatments.
Mm.
Matthew there is organizing and getting all sorts of people together, people who grow things, people so that we're not isolated.
Right.
I learned from reading Rian Eisler that a lot of our presumptions about our historical past were based on male archaeologists interpreting, you know, the information from that point of view. And
yes,
there was a situation where it looked like a woman had parity, or even in majesty in situation, it was an anomaly that they would generally disregard.
Yes,
and
that's right.
We did a lot of work to bring balance and bring that back to light.
Yes. And, you know, there's a pretty strong backlash right now in archaeology against the work that many of us do and the work of Maria Gimbutas and so on. So it's really important time to keep bringing that material forward.
Mm-hmm. My grandma said the pendulum can only swing so far one way. And I think with our present president, our present situation, I think it's swung pretty far.
I think it's gone about as far as it can go.
So we women are just watching it and smiling, and we are patient, and we will...
Now, that reminds me to tell your listeners something. On Friday night in San Francisco, there's a wonderful event produced by my friend Chrissy Kiefer, the founder and choreographer of the Dance Brigade.
Oh, I love that group.
Yeah, they're awesome. And she's doing this event called A Storm of Roses, Women Against War. It's at the Herbst Theater at 7:30 on Friday night, and it's got a lineup that's just exciting. And they're honoring social justice activists like, the Code Pink women and Cindy Sheehan and the Grandmothers Against War and people like that. It'll be very exciting, and lots of good dance and lots of good music. And I'm going to be there. I'm going to invoke the Black Dakini and get people chanting, you know. So
excellent.
Yeah.
Well, Vicki, I think we've covered a lot of ground, and we certainly could interview you for many more times and have lots of amazing, deep information. You are a well.
Oh, thank you so much.
A wealth of information.
Thank you. Well, it's been a pleasure.
Very enjoyable having you here tonight. Should we let the male say something?
Have the last word.
Matt, would you like to say goodnight to Vicki?
Well, I just looked up the event that Vicki just told us about, and I see that Holly Meir is performing and Farron. And
yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, won't that be wonderful?
Magnificent.
And I believe there are still tickets, so really, I encourage people to come. It'll be a wonderful night. It'll be inspiring.
That, and then on Saturday night, Lisa Rafael, who's our guest last week, a shamanic healer, has put together a spring equinox concert in the Lake Merritt area with Linda Tellery, Gary Malkin, again, just an unbelievable lineup. And you can find that at her website, lisarafael.com, R-A-F-E-L.
Her beautiful voice, that'll be wonderful.
Oh, it's really, really going to be wonderful. Well, thank you again, Vicki.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you.
I look forward to meeting you in person and coming to one of your workshops and just being in
your presence. Oh, I hope you will.
Yeah, it was great talking with you.
Thank you. You too.
Good evening.
Good night.
Thank you. I have a quick announcement, Matt.
You're going to England, and then you're going to Egypt.
I'm going, and Israel. I'm doing the frequency thing. But here, closer to home, Friday, I will be doing a sound journey with my partner, Claire Victor, at Open Secret Bookstore here in San Rafael, California.
That's Friday.
On C Street, this Friday, March 14th.
That's going against Vicki's event there. But
well, for those who are in this area that would like to come, it's a small space in the temple there, and we'll be doing a profound sound journey, shamanic sound journey. Then Saturday, March 22nd, there's a brand new Zen temple. Sacred Sound Immersions is the program, and I will be there Invoking the Goddess through sound with Sylvina Vergara, my good friend Sylvina Shakini, and Mark Deutsch in his Byzantar, stand-up acoustic bass with the sitar in the middle, and I'll be leading some chanting with him. Saturday, March 22nd, 6:30 p.m., Zen Compound Temple, and you can get more information at Diana at Temples, F as in Frank, .com. Diana at TemplesF.com, $15 to $30 sliding scale. And we're just wrapping up. Any more announcements? Our guest next week is?
I have a wonderful guest as usual, Terry Daniel. And I met Terry Daniel probably 25, 30 years ago when she was a public relations consultant in the music business. Actually, she brought Brenda Russell to my club, and we had a really great time getting to know each other. In the years it evolved, her son developed adrenoleukodystrophy, which was the disease that was in Lorenzo's oil. And it was about 7-8 years of working with him through the course of that disease. And in the last several years, he wasn't able to speak. And when he died, he started to speak to Terry. And so she's put out a book. And what's the name of that book? It's A Swan in Heaven.
That's a beautiful name.
Yeah, and so Terry's going to be on our show next week to talk about that wonderful journey. For those of you who want to learn more about to live in the Sonoma County area, we've got music that comes into the store a couple times a month. So contact me if you want to get on that email list. And I think it's probably about time to play some of Jan's music.
Wrap it up.
So Seth, if you're there, what are you going to play, Jan?
This would be Tawa, the All That Is, and it's a simple chant. We play it every week. It's from
okay.
My CD, As Above, So Below, cdbaby.com. Vicki was a great guest tonight.
For sure.
Thank you, Matt.
And
I'll
you.
See you in 2 weeks.
2 weeks. All right. Have a wonderful time in England.
Thanks. Good night.
Thank you all, folks.
Hello, this is Marco May. I'm really happy you're enjoying the rich variety of music on bbsradio.com. Please give me a visit at www.marcome.com. Hope to see you.
Hello, this is Wesley Snipes. And when I'm divinely inspired and spiritually motivated, I listen to Dr. Fred Bell in the Health and Sciences Show on bbsradio.com. Tune in or be tuned out.
This is Pete Seeger, and you're listening to BBS Radio.
You deserve to know the bliss found in the divine union of your soul with spirit. You do not have to wait until the afterlife to fully experience oneness with God. Through healing the soul of its forgetfulness of who and what it is, you allow it to fulfill its divine right to know the spirit that you are, so that you can be the knowing spirit and enjoy your existence. Please join me, Reverend Sharice Thorne, for Knowing Spirit, a show about healing the soul so you can change your life. For more information, please visit www.knowingspirit.org.
Do you know where your planets are? Hi, I'm Debs the Horoscopes Lady, and every Wednesday morning, right here on BBS Radio at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, I'll be answering your career and relationship questions using the Sidereal Difference. What's that? Tune in and find out every Wednesday morning to Debs the Horoscopes Lady.
You're listening to BBS Radio. An internet radio experience of truth, harmony, beauty. From your family at BBS Radio, have yourself a beautiful day.
What's up, everybody? The State of Man. I'm John.
This is James.